global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellet. A pullback for U.S. equities, lower little changed on this Tuesday amid rising geopolitical tensions and political risks surrounding the French presidential election in Europe. S&P 500 index down 3 at 2353, a drop of 0.1%. Dow Industrials down 6, down less than 0.1%. NASDAQ down 14, a decline there of 0.2%. The 10-year up 19 30 seconds with a yield of 2.30%. Gold up $21.70 the ounce to $12.75, a gain there of 1.7%. And we did have crude oil up today by 32 cents a barrel, $53.41 on WTI, a gain there of 0.6%. I'm Charlie Pellet, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. Smaller could be better when it comes to rental units.
The sweet spot for cheap rents tends to be buildings between 2 and 9 apartments.
Patrick Clark is reporter for Bloomberg News.
You know, single-family homes rent for more. Certainly, big apartment buildings, units in those buildings tend to rent for more.
And Clark says there's another reason small may be more practical.
They're a good way to add more housing to single-family neighborhoods. Nobody wants a high-rise or a mid-rise even in a nice suburban single-family neighborhood, but you could add a building with 2 or 4 or 8 apartments without sort of disrupting the character of the neighborhood.
In the 70s and 80s, 25% of new housing stock was these small to mid-sized complexes, but since 1990, only 15% of new housing's been in this category as builders look to steadier profits and access to bank loans. And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
This is Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
No Celine Dion. Paul Brennan, our producer, chose that instead to talk about OceanGate. CEO Stockton Rush joins us right now. OceanGate is going to look at the Titanic. Stockton, glad to have you on. You're talking to the Explorers Club about this expedition this week. What is the expedition with the Titanic?
Well, we'll be going back to the Titanic for the first time since 2005 with humans. We're going to go starting in May of next year, 2018, and running 7 weeks through July.
And you say we. Who's the we?
We as OceanGate. OceanGate Expeditions has organized this project. We've contracted with a helicopter company to do some of the transport. We have a commercial vessel. And then we've developed over the last 7 years a very unique five-person manned submersible that makes this possible.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, because you got a helicopter going the wrong direction because you got to go down, not up. You can see I'm good at this exploring stuff, right? How far down is the Titanic? How far down is it?
The Titanic is 3,800 meters, so about 12,500 feet, quite a ways down there. There are only 4 submersibles on the planet, they're all government-owned, that can go to that depth.
And so how do you get one that you can use for this?
Well, we've been developing, we call this the Cyclops series of submersibles, the Cyclops II, and we're using a carbon fiber hull with titanium endomes, and that allows us to make a larger sub that is actually lighter than those other 4, the ones that are owned by governments. And that makes it cost-effective for us to go out with paying, we call mission specialists, as well as researchers and a pilot.
And what have I got to pay for this?
Well, the price is $105,129, which is the inflation-adjusted price of a first-class ticket on the Titanic in 1912.
Oh, nice. I was wondering what the $29 was for. Does that come with peanuts and violin players or no?
Well, this is not a tourist mission. One of the things we're trying to do is make sure that the folks come realize that not only are you going to pay that, but you're going to be actively working on the mission. So it's a pay to participate, and we expect people to be actively involved.
And how in this process, how long does it take to get down there, and how long is the mission?
Yes, so it'll take us 1.5 hours to do the transit, which is about half the time of any other submersible because, again, we are smaller on the outside and actually larger on the inside. And then the crew will spend between 3 and 6 hours on the wreck, depending on what the objectives are. We're going to be doing laser scanning and photogrammetry, where you take 3D photo images, looking at new life forms that may be habitating on the hull. And so it'll depend on what the mission objective is, how long they're down. And then it's another hour and a half back to the surface.
Presumably it's pretty dark there.
It is very dark down there. There's no light. We bring four 20,000 lumen LED lights, so there's quite a bit of light, which is the key.
I would imagine the sub itself is not just built differently because it's carbon fiber, but it probably has more of an emphasis on being able to see than most submarines do?
Yes, we have the largest viewport on any deep diving sub. It's over 25 inches. And then the sub itself and the systems around it are completely different. So we have a launch and recovery system that's we launch the sub underwater. The whole ship that it's on sinks, and then the sub flies off. So that's different than many other subs. And then a lot of the interior has been outfitted with more visual items, such as the sonar displays, high-def cameras on the outside, low-light cameras, infrared, and things like that.
What is it about the Titanic that has captivated people for so long? I suppose you've thought about this more than most.
It's clearly the number one thing underwater. If you ask somebody name something underwater, odds are Titanic and the North Pole may be about the only two things that almost everyone on the planet will know. And the story behind it, you can't write it. I mean, the mystery, the fact that it was the maiden voyage of the unsinkable ship, the people that were on it, the issues related to the management making it drive so fast through the icebergs, and the beginning of radio communication.
Right.
There's so many elements. There have been 18 movies about the Titanic. It's that big a story.
It's an incredible story, but, you know, there are a few others out there. I mean, the Lusitania is a fantastic book, Dead Wake. I don't know if you read it by Eric Larson, about the topic of the Lusitania. I would imagine, are there other, sightseeing opportunities in the, undersea?
Well, the sea, obviously, as people know, it's, you know, three times the land in two dimensions. So there are thousands. In fact, there have been estimated to be a million shipwrecks of more than 50 feet since we started sailing. There are tons of wrecks, certainly from the wars, as well as from the colonization of the New World. And there's gold. There are great biological things to look at, the hydrothermal vents and the ecosystems around those.
Right.
And creatures to be found. It's unlimited.
And again, how deep can you go with this vehicle?
We've designed a vehicle to go to 4,000 meters. So the Titanic is right up on its limit. And then we have another one in process that'll be 6,000 meter capable.
Wow. That's incredible.
And
there's so much undiscovered there, yeah.
Yeah, it's 98% of the planet is 6,000 meters and shallower, and then there are a few very deep trenches.
And again, you imagine this principally as a semi-tourist endeavor, not a purely scientific business?
We see it as a, and we don't really like the term tourist. This is really about exploration and science, and so we make sure every mission we go on has an objective. Maybe it's scanning, maybe it's capturing new photography, but it's not just a passive look and see. And it's really the tip of the opportunity. It's the early adopters who are willing to go in this new vehicle and do these amazing adventures. But ultimately, we see this having application in industries such as oil and gas, minerals and mining.
Absolutely.
And the like, where you have a need for inspection, repair, and maintenance, and where robots and their accompanying ships and tethers and great expense are not the most cost-effective way to do simple things like inspections.
Stockton Rush, CEO of OceanGate, thank you very much. Well, you have been listening to Bloomberg Markets and Bloomberg Radio, but coming up, Ed Baxter, what do you got?
Bloomberg Best, U.S. tax policy with Caroline Harris from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, GE CEO Jack Welch, and Sergio Garcia, his first major in his 19-year career, and it's the Masters, the green jacket. That's quite a story.
Did you watch it?
I watched some of it.
I watched Sunday the last couple of holes.
It was great.
The last probably six holes.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Great. Yeah.
One of the great matches of all time. Ed, we'll look forward to that. Thank you very much. You listen to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg.